So the problem of the individual breaking away from the pattern by motive of self-determinism left a very serious weakness in our systems of learning. In our definite determination to do what we want to do, most of the world has forgotten what we were supposed to do. The idea that we came here from some remote source and went through hundreds of thousands of years to gradually develop a mind has been overlooked almost completely. It has been assumed that the mind was thus given to us to do as we pleased with, that we could use it for the most unpleasant thinking, that we could use it to corrupt ourselves and others, and we could use it as an excuse or defense against the mistakes that we make. Now, by the time we have been thoroughly educated, we have what is called acquired ignorance. We have an ignorance which was not given to us by nature or by the gods or by any outside factor. We have acquired a schooling on how to do wrong and get away with it. Or, to say the maybe a little more genteelly, the way to live a life in this world with indifference to all the factors that are disagreeable to us. So this is ignorance of the factors that we do not want to accept. We do not want to believe, basically, in equality. We do not want to basically believe in the victory of right over wrong. We want to believe it theoretically and then do as we please. So we have an education that is now based not upon experience, not upon the wisdom of the elders, not upon the truths that were first carved on the cave walls of ancient France and Spain. What we are now trying to do is to create a new kind of world. A world to be fashioned to do exactly as we please. Perfect freedom. The ability to invent as long as an invention is even possible. The possibility of becoming rich as possible and then holding on to it, which is not so easy. Everywhere we want to be exactly what we want to be. If we want to drink ourselves to death, it is an inalienable right that we can do so. If we want to be kind, it's very nice. But if it's expensive, we generally get over this type of feeling. So actually, we have created a new kind of world. It is a world in which we have created a kind of ignorance which will help us to survive the mistakes that we make. We do not want to do it right primarily. We want to do it sufficiently so that it will serve us, but not that we will serve it with any true integrity. So we have today yet to find what might be termed basics, and they're not easy to find. They're not easy because we do not believe in them any longer. We believe in certain specialized attributes. Way back in the dawn of things, when there was an argument, somebody threw a stone. And that gradually developed into a slingshot. Then we put a handle on one side of the stone and made a tomahawk or a battle club out of it. Then we developed the bow and arrow. And then after a while, the throwing spear, which was the primitive weapon of the Western Hemisphere. We went on a little further and somebody found out that the Chinese fired off firecrackers for weddings and funerals. So we took the idea and made a cannon in order that we might shoot each other. After that got a little longer, and then everybody had a little bigger cannon. Then something else had to be accomplished in order that we should always be victorious over the adversary. And of course, the adversary was always part of ourselves. So we gradually broke up humanity into a mass of conflicting units, each struggling desperately to survive according to rules that were essentially wrong. Therefore, the education should have come along at this time and begun to correct these errors. But what education did, instead of explaining to us why we shouldn't build bigger cannons, education now tells us to make nuclear bombs instead. And that becomes a symbol of the higher learning of our materialistically oriented culture. We always get over a bad situation by creating a worse one that will eat it up. And then we will suffer because the thing will turn on us. So all the way along, the problem of ignorance has never essentially changed and cannot change until the individual determines within himself the difference between ignorance and wisdom. The evidences, the monuments to ignorance are so numerous that even the school child today is beginning to feel this this process. So he is now striking for freedom, and freedom is taking him back to the first days of emergence from caves. Today we want to show that we do not respect the mistakes of our elders by creating an antisocial situation. Instead of, however, of trying to turn against our elders, we would get much further if we would look more deeply into the basics of life. It is not our ancestor who is responsible primarily. It is always an attitude, a conviction, and a belief that is unsound. That gets us all into these difficulties. Grandfather may have had it, great-grandfather may have had it, but the fact that he had it and that we don't like what he had, so we create a revolution against grandfather, is ridiculous. The revolution is turned against a person, but the very ones who are revolting are in their own turn in a little different way, doing the same thing we reject in their ancestry. It just keeps on repeating itself. So the problem of the need for clearing up of ignorance has to be given some kind of thought sometime, or gradually humanity will return to the caves from which it came, because it cannot stand the constant battle between personal willfulness and universal truth. The two are incompatible unless the individual rises above himself. These basic laws will never come down to his level. He has to go up to theirs or he is in trouble. And to go up to theirs, the higher levels of things will result or require self-control, discipline, idealism, integrity, a fraternal relationship with life, revolutions of a peaceful nature in which we find joy in growing, whereas revolutions of a militant nature lead to nothing but distress. So we are looking around now to see where we are beginning to work on the problem of getting real education, to come into the possession of an acquired knowledge that will serve us. We have as the basis of an acquired knowledge an internal life around a mysterious power, principle, or energy which we call the soul. There's something inside of ourselves, a small voice that gets smaller as the days go by, but is still there. There is an internal realization that we're wrong, but we haven't the courage or the strength or the integrity to give that a realization an opportunity to express itself. We are convinced that in our present state, the first move toward living better is going to strip us of everything we have. We are going to be outlaws if we become intelligent. The reward is not to be intelligent, but to become part of a pattern. The rebel, the teacher, the idealist, the dreamer, these are outcasts, rejected by a society that wants none of them. There are certain things we have not been able to reject because of the tremendous intensity and universality of them, such as, for instance, religion. But we still are able to live in the presence of it without being greatly influenced. And most people, regardless of their religious affiliations, are seeking primarily for fame and fortune. These are the things that come first. Now, if we're going to try to do something to change this basic ignorance, then we must say or believe that this basic ignorance is, in a sense, moral. It is kindly. It is rather simple. It's just, I don't know, but I'd like to find out attitude. And any individual who wants to grow must grow by gradually becoming aware of things he needs to know and providing with this knowledge a sense of his own acceptance. If he wants to live better, he can. It will please his inner life, but not be particularly fortunate in his economic environment. Therefore, all the way along, the individual has to stand for principles, or he must become involved in the compromises which we now call civilization. We are now standing at a point where it is obvious that we are in serious trouble. We also realize from daily reading of the rather pessimistic press that this trouble is not getting any better to speak of, that we are still trying to make things work that never have worked since the beginning of time. We have tried to fight our way to peace. We did that with stone axes. We did it with bows and arrows. We did it by just throwing logs at each other. It never ended. The possibility of fighting our way to peace is not acceptable to universal law. But the universal law has its own way of solving these things. And the way nature solves this type of problem is very simple. It is in the very principle of gradually achieving basics out of natural ignorance. The answer to animosities is simply friendship. The answer to over ambitions is moderation. The answer to militant aggressiveness is a non-aggressive, non-militant effort to restore the integrities of human relationships. But nobody is much interested in them. No one wants to see that everyone is fairly treated, because to do this would create what to young and ambitious persons is a universal monotony that they cannot even think of enduring. The adventure of killing themselves is very close to their minds and hearts. The possible winning of the great lottery of life, the possibility of becoming an alcoholic and still retain the love and friendship of mankind and keep your job. These are the things that are concerning most people as ways to do what they please and not suffer from the result. And wherever this is taught, this is acquired ignorance.
You are listening to the Wisdom School of the Air, coming to you from the Philosophical Research Society. Our teacher for this hour is Mr. Manly P. Hall. Now let's return to Mr. Hall.
It is simply taking something that isn't so, glorifying it, putting a few letters after its name, and considering it intelligent. We cannot solve these problems simply by a grandizing of the trouble itself. We cannot point to how noble the difficulty is, when in reality the nobility lies in the worlds of solution. Now, how are we going to get a better group on education? If you send a small child to school, we know that child doesn't know too much at that time, but it doesn't need to know very much, because it is under the strong protection of parents. Now, if these parents don't know anything, that's a little difficult for the child as well as the parents. It's not recommended. But if it is true, then the opportunity for the parent to grow a little is intensified by the needs of the child. And the thoughtful parent sometimes does thinking for the first time when confronted with a small child who needs to know, and the parent hasn't the slightest idea what to tell him. Now, this fact that nobody knows what to do about anything is not the keynote of a great advanced civilization. It is actually only evidence of something that has missed the mark by a great deal and must either go back and start over, or nature will step in. Now, nature is not cruel, but nature has certain moral factors in it. It isn't moral in the sense that it stands somewhere and preaches sermons. Nature, however, does reward that which is right by certain securities and integrities. and it punishes those that are not right by certain difficulties. And because most people aren't right, the difficulties are numerous. All right, you piled up a universe of difficulties, vast structures like mountains piled upon mountains, and the difficulties are being strengthened and intensified every day. You pile up something like that, and then you turn to the people and say, we will show you how to solve this. But they can't. The mountain will not disappear. The solution does not lie in trying to make the mountain endurable. Nor can you take that mountain and mine it for gold ore or anything of that kind. All you get out of it is trouble. So as the problems grow greater and more people are out of work, more and more people are doubting everything, then the question arises what to do about it. And the answer to the informed person, to the naturally ignorant individual who wants to know more, is to find out exactly what the problem is and cure it. The intellectual, instead of the intelligible approach to this situation, is to take the mountain, climb it, measure it, and decide that it can be built still higher. As we do this, we point to the mountain as a great natural disaster, as a great natural hazard, when it is nothing at all of that kind. It's our own building. The difficulties that we face are not put there by outrageous providence. They are put there by the simple mistakes of people who either cannot or will not grow. If they cannot grow, they have the simple ignorance. If they can grow and don't, they have compound ignorance. And most people suffer from one or the other. But there is in each individual the inalienable right to do that which should be done. There is no possibility of taking away from the person the potential of being an intelligible, reasonable individual. There is no solution to our economic problems, our employment problems, our population problems, unless we get to understand and live in harmony with natural law. We are not here to get ourselves into a disaster and then spend the rest of the evolutionary period trying to get out of it. We are here to do things the way they need to be done. And this is very obvious. The great ignorance is, therefore, the willingness to accept false answers to facts. The individual is perfectly willing to be deluded into the belief that the pattern by which he lives and by which he hopes to profit, that this pattern is sacrosanct and he can hope to fulfill it. Now we've got a situation in which nearly everybody is out trying to deceive somebody else. The whole process of business has been corrupted. We no longer think of the barter and exchange methods of the past, always built upon a very strange but rickety foundation of man's inhumanity to man and man's ultimate selfishness to everything except himself. And to everyone else except himself, he is just one of the victims of the situation. This leaves us with certain uncertainties about how far we've come in this great evolutionary plan. Are we really getting somewhere? Yes, we are getting somewhere. There's no question about it. We're learning, but it's a hard way. It's an individual suffering 100 times more than he should. It's an individual who hurts for ages and generations when he should have had the tooth out in the beginning and let it heal. He's an individual who has been disillusioned until his heart is broken, but he has never been willing to give up the illusions that cause it. He is a good-hearted person who has believed in the brotherhood of man and skinned everyone in sight and been skinned in turn. This is the way the thing has gone. Somewhere along the way, we have lost the contact with the divine. And yet we sit on that contact all the time. This planet is a direct contact with the infinite reality of things. This earth is one of the great books which we are able to read. It is almost a visual, literal symbolical representative of Holy Writ. It is the same thing. Here in our gardens and our mountains and our valleys, we have the law, as the old American Indians believed. We have the great spirits walking from the peaks of mountains. We have around us all of the realities necessary to our security if we will meditate upon them, consider them, and learn the lessons that they teach. And we have to realize that the voice of God is heard in the winds and in all the voices and sounds of nature. And the voice of a God who is a little disappointed in his creation can be heard also in the confused sounds of the Commonwealth and of the tremendous, intricate organization of man's present communal existence. The roar and howl of cities, the bleat and cry of the suffering, and the incredible sounds made by modern television programs and the like, should tell us that something isn't happy. And where we enjoy becoming intoxicated, or would rather take narcotics and die, something is wrong. And a civilization that has come to this is not right, basically, or it wouldn't have gotten here. We are just missing the lesson, and missing it badly. We are perfectly willing, apparently, to have a revolt against society, which we do by some form of eccentricity. We wear our hair longer or our beards longer simply because it is our idea of a revolt against tradition. We have a right to the revolt, there's no question about it, but the length of our hair will not solve it. We'll be just in the same trouble with hair down to our waist or with our head shaven. We're going to be in the same problem until the revolt takes the form of a definite, distinct recognition of the need for re-educating our own lives. Unless we do it, the answer will not come. So we have now come to a point where many people don't think life is even worth living. They're not very much interested in survival. That's why maybe they will keep on being alcoholics until they pass on at a very early age, simply because life is meaningless. For the humanity to have lived for millions of years to come to the time that the human being doesn't care whether he lives or dies is not a success. So all this glamour of the skyscrapers, all this glamour of computerization, all the wonderful achievements that we brag about have left us very poor little creatures without any real reason to exist, afraid to live, and afraid to die. This is a very sad end of a great program, but it doesn't have to stay this way. It doesn't have to remain a disaster, but the individuals who want it to change must see the need for the kind of change that must take place also within themselves. There is no reason in the world why the inner life of the individual cannot be improved without intruding unnecessarily upon the structure of a society that is opposed to him and is against him. There will always be and always have been good people. There always have been people who are willing to make sacrifice, who would like to do it better. There are parents who would like to have their children better educated. And one of the simple grounds having stopped the whole thing is on the level of education. We are entitled to an education that is inspired by need and not by policy. Children growing up need to be educated in the basics of living. They need to know the difference between the natural ignorance of infancy and the acquired ignorance of the higher educational structure. They need to know that what they are learning will help them to be better human beings and not be satisfied to make them technicians who can command a high salary. We are training everyone today in an economic conflict, combat, and unnecessary situation rather than to educate them to be people. The individual with all the degrees has to go down and die like everybody else. He has, in almost every case, broken homes, delinquent children, great wealth, and still greater miseries. He is perhaps worth billions, but he is tied down to narcotics. He is held bound by alcoholism, or he has one of the many disasters which definitely prove the insufficiency of success.
If you would like your own cassette copy or transcript of today's program, send $12 in U.S. funds for the cassette or $7 in U.S. funds for the transcript to the Wisdom School, Post Office Box 29250, Los Angeles, California, USA, 90029. That's the Wisdom School, Post Office Box 29250, Los Angeles, California, USA, 90029.